half an hour with you, and because we want to make church as absolute fun as we can. So for some of you, I know we're just stretching the meter a little bit, because you know it just feels like we're having too much fun in church. It's almost illegal, and but that's all right. Church should be fun. People have enough problems in church without coming to church and getting some more. And so we believe that God is good, that having some fun is awesome, that we blend having tremendous joy with having tremendous sense of God's presence and intimacy. Those things are very important. And we believe, Carrie and I had a 24-hour kind of conference this week, which was very encouraging, keeps us very busy. We're both multitasking on a lot of things. But certainly one of the things that God downloaded on me, and this has been happening over the last month or two, is the reality that church is not just Sunday. And we know that on paper, but I want to encourage us as a people to be building Jesus-centered relationships during the week as well. Just getting in touch with one another, encouraging one another. We have a connect group on Wednesday. We have our youth guys meet together every second Friday. We've got another kind of a thing that Carrie does with women that's kind of reaching out to women beyond our own four walls. And we have opportunity for all kinds of things. We feel like God's in a great season. But, you know, Sunday is, I want you to get this idea that Sunday ought to be inspiring. It ought to be the strongest day of the week. It ought to be a blast. You ought to leave lifted up. You ought to leave encouraged. But you also want to realize that God is with you on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. And we want to encourage you to live big. We send e-thoughts out every day. If you don't get those, we'd be very happy to send them to you. That's about a paragraph at the most of biblical inspiration that I put together every day. And we send to, 200 and something, 300, something like that, 200 or 300 people in all parts of different parts of the world, just that we've run into over the time. And so we want to encourage you just to make every day count. It ought to be great. Life ought to be great, but it also needs to be centered on Jesus. And the truth is that we have challenges and we can't do everything in a couple of hours on Sunday morning. So you need to build good relationships during the week. We're going to do our very best to finish at 12. We want to run that pretty tight today. So when you bring visitors and guests, which we really encourage you to do, that you've got a pretty good idea of what Sunday morning looks like. Around about 12, it could be a couple of minutes after, but that's my goal. We're going to have coffee, and that's a really important time. We have a little bit of coffee at the beginning, but there'll be food and stuff that we put on. And for that half an hour, before we all start to pack everything down, between 12 and 12:30, we just want to encourage people to get to know one another, have fellowship, build one another up in the things of God, and let it be a Christ-centered kind of a fellowship too. So I just want to let you know a few things like that. And now we're going to talk about, it's fun today, Making Love. That's the title. And five things that we wish they knew. And so Carrie and I are going to share the pulpit today. She's going to talk about the things that we're worshipping Isis. And Lana did a brilliant job, I tell you. She put two, maybe that was the one I did with not enough blue tack on it. But anyway, praise God. It looks good though, doesn't it? So I'm very tempted to glue it up, but I just have a feeling that from Monday to Saturday, they may not understand. So, but anyway. So yeah, we want to talk about what Carrie's going to talk about, the things that women wish that men knew. Or another way to look at it is the things that women find most attractive in men. And I'm going to talk about it from the reverse side. So we're going to have some fun with that. It's Valentine's Day this week. So whether you're married, whether you've been through divorce, whether you've been married before, whether you're single, God's arms of love are open to your life. And the truth is that love and meaningful relationships are the center of life. Our relationship with God, but that also means the relationship with God connects us also with the relationship with other believers. And if we don't have relationship with other believers and we just think that it's all about me and God and we actually are a little disconnected, that's just an unhealthy thing. And we want to encourage your hearts to be open to building strong relationships. It takes a little bit of vulnerability. There's a lady called Dr. Breen Brown, some of you. It's one of the most watched TED Talks. It's really worth listening to, where she talks about, it's not our subject today, but just talks about the importance of connection, that what people really want is connection. And I've found over 25 years of ministry that plenty of people in life can be in a crowd, but they're not really connected with somebody else. And that lots of Christians can be in a church and we can shake our hands and all that stuff, and that's cool. But we need connection with people. And when it comes to relationship, we really need to find people. And I always encourage leadership. We've got a leadership team here of guys. But find people and build relationship with them to the point where when there's shots being taken by your life, your marriage, your family, that there's enough bond there. You've built enough relationship that you can become vulnerable and talk about those things. Otherwise, you're really isolating yourself and you end up battling through life on your own. And that's oftentimes where disasters happen. We need one another. And so with that little entry point, I want to ask you to welcome the very lovely Caroline Van Essen. I have no idea really what she's going to say, but I've got my notebook and I'm ready. So could you welcome Carrie, please, this morning? Thanks very much.
Hello, everyone. Well, Paulson, a really great introduction there, so it was fantastic. But the idea of this, really, so we get to know each other. You know, there's lots of books written on this subject, you know, why men are from Mars and women are from Venus and all these different things. But the idea is that we get to know each other, we get to respect how we get to learn how each other works. Do you know what I mean? So we can build relationships in a stronger way. So what I did this week, I got write my own five, but I thought I'd do a little survey, which is quite interesting. So some of you might have got a text. I didn't text everybody, and I didn't text everybody just from in church either, because I wanted to get people's opinions from outside these four walls. And then when I asked them what qualities they like men to have, what's attractive, and also five things that they wish that men knew about women. And I got a whole load of different things. And the actual things that they said weren't the same, but there were some core values that came through. Do you see what I mean? Because what love means to one isn't what love means to another. How it's shown, that is, if you know what I mean. So it was quite interesting to see. So I've chosen five things that kept coming up, okay?
Come on.
Now, come on. Right, number one, you ready?
Ooh.
How do I do this, Dar? I've never used this before, as you can tell. I'm actually pretty good with technology, but not this. Anyway, number one, women like to be listened to, and respect comes from that. This is a true story. I'm just going to tell you very briefly. It was somebody we used to know a long time ago, a couple that lived in Richmond, and the oven broke. I wonder where this is going. And the wife said to the husband, look, I've got to go to work today. Could you please call the gas man to fix the oven because I can't cook? And he goes, sure thing. Anyway, he did so. He called the man. And the man came out to the house at the due time and all this kind of stuff. And when he looked inside, he goes, why did you call me? You needed a gas man, not an electrician. You've got a gas oven. So number one, the husband didn't listen. The wife said, I've called the right kind of engineer. It's true. You don't believe me, but it is true. And secondly, he obviously never did any cooking and didn't realise. Actually, cooking came up at least three times in this survey. People said, we like men to cook. So there you go. Just drop that in. Pancakes are good, doll. Anyway, so women want to be heard because we've got a voice and we just believe that, you know, that our voice is worth listening to as well. I mean, it's just called being respectful, really, to give the other person a chance to talk. And we just think that our things are just as valuable. And when I mean hear or listen, I don't mean just hear like going through like this. I mean paying attention. So we've had examples that I was texted in. When people listen, when men listen to us, can you ask them not to play on the mobile phone, put it down, turn it off? Don't have one eye on the television trying to look at the latest football. He's writing it down. You know, make eye contact with people. Speak to them so you know, you feel that you're the most important person in that world. Okay, now that goes for men, women, men to men, that goes for everybody. But when you're talking to somebody, be there. It says wherever you are, be there. And it's just such a good technique to have. So just pay attention, don't fidget and that kind of thing. Don't butt in and overtalk because you really want to know the football scores, which happens from time to time, or the rugby in our house, because, you know, because it's not really polite. And listening to your wealth, if you're listening and the wife's got a problem or the woman's got a problem, women don't like you to fix everything. That's come up as well quite a lot. So we like to be heard. We just want to make our voice heard. We just want to say, well, this has happened, blah, 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 blah. But we don't actually need answers for it. It's just from us, most of us, just, do I get any nods and amens this side, yeah? Very often we just want to say it and then it's all done. We don't really actually need a solution. But a lot of people say, what you need to do is this, or if I were you, do that, you know? And women just shut down because we know what to do really probably on our own. Okay, so listening is important for us. Being heard and being understood is important for us. But it's good for the men too, because if you listen to your partner or ladies, you know, it increases your perspective. You get a different perspective on things. Remember, I should have put it up. There was a thing and it had a six drawn on the floor and the woman was standing one end and then the man was standing the other end. So he saw it as a nine and she saw it as a six. Just because I'm right doesn't make you wrong. And it's just such a good thing to hear, because it just increases your wisdom if you get a bigger perspective on something. In fact, I like this one. It says in Proverbs 18:13, this is in the Message, it says, answer before listening is both stupid and rude. It doesn't mince words there, does it? 18:13 in the Message. Answering before listening is both stupid and rude. It's a bit harsh, isn't it, really? You think the Bible's all like dressed up in like nice language, but not in the Message, clearly. Okay, so that's number one. So we've got about a quarter of an hour each. Okay, number two. Oh, it's my fault, isn't it? Okay, women like to be appreciated. Yeah, oh, I know. Lots of women feel overlooked. At least that's come out in my survey. My husband's wonderful, so I never feel overlooked. So I'm just speaking for other people. But people often feel overlooked. Women often feel overlooked, I think, because partly historically, because women were trained and brought up, and we still haven't shaken all that off, you know, to do all the cooking, the cleaning, the domestic duties, the childcare, and that kind of stuff. And it was just accepted, you know. But things are different now. I mean, women's lib's done a lot, not all good either, I have to say, but it has done some good things. But now we have to be men and women, because most of us have part-time jobs, if not full-time jobs, or so many women do. So they're still trying to juggle their work life, but then their home life and their domestic life and their children and the house and da-da-da-da-da, and the husband and all that as well. And sometimes by the end of the day, we're just exhausted because we're doing all these different things. So women just want to be appreciated for all the hard work that they do. And one lady put it like this. She said, I wish men realised how strong we are, how much responsibility we have, and how hard we work in the workplace and at home. And other people said, we love it when men cook. And another lady said, I like it when men help with the housework, because it shows appreciation, yeah, and that it's not just a woman's job. And washing up falls into that one as well. Now, Paul, Pastor Paul, I know. He knows all this. Yeah, no. He's always cleaning, always doing housework. Shames me because I don't enjoy it at all. But Pastor Paul loves doing the housework. And you come in and he's moved everything around. You're saying, I'm sure there's a bunch of flowers there. And you're thinking, where's the cupboard? It's got my gloves in it. And you have to go around the house trying to find the cupboard that he's moved and this kind of stuff. So it's quite amusing sometimes. And sometimes it's not so amusing. But bless him, he does work hard cleaning in the house. And he always, nearly always does the washing up as well, because our dishwasher broke. He says he likes it anyway. But it's just important to be appreciated. But it works the other way around, of course. So men want to be appreciated too, but that's not my message. The message that women want to be appreciated to the men, okay? It says, John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends or his partner. And it's just such a beautiful verse. I put it in anyway, because it just shows about thinking about the other person and appreciating them. Okay? How are we doing for time? Ooh, I better get a move on. Number three, women like men to have a sense of humour. That one was huge. So many people said, just have fun. Just keep things light. Sit down and laugh with me regularly. And I was thinking, like, why? Why, why, why? Well, I obviously know why it's important to laugh, but I think it's just because it shows that you're together. You know, like if you're supporting a rugby match, you're all on the same side, or any other sport. You know, you bond, don't you? Because you've all got something in common. You've got one heart. You're having fun together. And laughing does that. So we just like men to keep things light, not too intense, but make space in your life to laugh, make space in your life just to be together and have fun. And like, you know, laughing does so much. And it's like Joy is actually one of the fruits of the Spirit. That's what I'm trying to say. I'll just read this quickly. It says, laughter, this is a physical thing now, not from the Bible. Laughter decreases stress hormones, so reduces stress and relieves tension. Is this true? I read it on Wikipedia or something. It increases immune cells and infection-fighting antibodies. Thus improving your resistance to disease. Laughter triggers the release of endorphins, which are happy hormones. Yes, the body's natural feel-good chemicals. And endorphins promote an overall sense of well-being. Have a good laugh at this. And can even, well-being, and can even temporarily relieve them. So when you're feeling good, you act good because you're pumped high of all these happy hormones. If you've given had babies, you know what that feels like for the women there. Because afterwards you're like this because all your hormones are kicked into action. And it's like, I don't know, it's like you're on something, I guess. And perhaps some of you are if you've had gas and air. But I didn't, so I don't know. So mine were natural. But if you're feeling good, you act good. And if you want to act good, it helps if you're in a good place in your relationship. So laughing is good for you. Proverbs says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And God says, you know, in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And I was thinking about that in the night, actually. And laughter also shows how confident you are in God, especially if you're in a difficult situation. If you can laugh at it because you know God's got his hand on the situation, this isn't really about men and women, but I think it's important to remember, you can just laugh at it because you know that God's going to come through. And actually, I've got a book, for it's written for children, it says just laugh at that. And it's like, oh, oh, no, you think you're stupid, the devil's told you you're stupid, just laugh at it. And you just laugh at these things, and it's a way of bringing up children, just to laugh about all those myths that the enemy tries to set inside your seeds, you know, all those little things that gnaw you in the middle of the night. And I suffer from the same things as everybody else. I was awake for hours last night worrying about something which I shouldn't have been, and I was just repeating Philippians to me about the peace of God coming into my life, and then I went back to sleep. But you know, we all have those little things, and it's like a weapon. It's like, it should be a spiritual weapon. You should be dressing up with laughter, the breastplate of laughter on or something. No? Okay. All right. So that's important. And in that, on that thing, it says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. And that's Proverbs 31. Anyway, moving on. Number four. Sorry. It's the first time I've used this, I said. Women appreciate honesty. We know when you're lying, men. Usually. Pretty much. We know. But we just don't always say, because we don't want the confrontation. Yeah? We don't want the argument. So we just go, Anyway, we don't like liars, and we basically know when you're not telling the truth often. We want you to be honest, transparent, and vulnerable with yourself first, of course. And it's that's not so funny, is it, for the men? You know, it's just awful if you've got a man who thinks he's hiding something. Or you meet somebody, if you haven't, you know, and you just don't know, you can't quite place it, you don't know if they're being truthful, you know, if there's something else going, because things don't quite fit. It's just not a good way to behave. We need honesty. And I know you're all thinking like those questions like, does my bum look big in this? And the man goes, yes, but we know you're lying, because we wouldn't ask you if we knew it didn't, obviously. And if you say, yes, you look really fat, that's not a good answer either. We don't want to hear the truth in that situation. So you have to dress it up a bit, you know. Say like, well, those trousers you had on the other day are really nice. They look so classy on you, or so sexy on you, depending on the occasion. And you know, there's nice ways of dressing up, but we want honesty, but from a heart of love rather than just brutal honesty, okay? And it's true, isn't it? You know, we all know what we're saying here. So just think about that. It's good to be honest, darling. He didn't write that one down because obviously he's honest. And finally, women want to be loved. This is a huge thing in itself, so we could go on all day about this. But what does love look like? I'll just read a little bit from Corinthians. It says, love is patient and it's kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. That's quite a hard one. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. It never looks back, but keeps on going to the end. And I just think that is beautiful. And God is love, don't forget. God is love. And love can be found in your relationship in so many ways, as I was saying earlier. From this survey I took, different people said different things, but what they were really talking about was love. But they didn't use those words. Well, most of them didn't. One person said, yes, just remind my I just wish men actually said I love you and gave me a hug. So words are powerful because it just reaffirms. You don't just say, I love you on the wedding day and then forget about it. You know, you've got to say it frequently so we still know. But also one lady said, I like it because my husband sings me romantic songs. Oh, Pastor Paul does, kind of. They do. He's always jumping around singing me songs in the kitchen. And it's nice, but it's those little things because you've got you. He just shows interest and that they love you, yeah? So men, sing songs if you can sing. If you can't, find some other way of showing your love, I guess. Somebody else said, love can be those little gestures, not the big ones, just those little gestures that just show that you're loved. Like buying me a cake, one person said, or let me have the first bath so I get all the hot water. It's just those little things. These were in the survey. It's not my... But other things that show love, is like the fact, you know, provision, protection, being fair, talking, being patient, all those kind of things, when you're with somebody, just show that you love them and you respect them. I think we're pretty much there, actually. We like men to be sacrificial. And another thing that came up was that we like men to be interested in our desires, because that shows love as well. So that if we've got a particular career or destiny, that men encourage us in that. That really helps because it just shows love. So you think about our needs. And keep it exciting. I haven't really got time. I missed that bit out. So people have affairs sometimes, which is obviously a bad thing to do, but often it's because life's just got boring. It's not exciting. So try and keep your love exciting, darling. We do, don't we? Yeah. Keep your love on, I was going to say. Keep it exciting. Keep it first. Put your love. Make a decision every day to love that person if you're in a relationship. Obviously, a proper relationship. And make that person feel special. Keep the romance side of it going and the physical side, if you know what I mean. That, apparently, it's warfare, that kind of thing. And don't forget, your body's not your own. Anyway, I'll stop there. So when temptation comes, if you are keeping yourself, you know, excited and romantically involved with your partner, then when temptation comes, it's really not that tempting because you've got all your needs at home anyway. So what's the point of throwing it all up and damaging your relationship? So it's really important to keep your love exciting, keep yourselves together, keep putting the other person first. Just keep falling in love with that person every day. So you don't fall out with that person every day, but you fall into that person every day. And have a really happy Valentine's Day. Woo!
Wonderful. Seen if I'm turning up. Hey, wonderful. That was great. Wasn't that great? And thank you so much. And I'm going to, at the end, Ryan, just to let you know, we'll use that Colours track. You know that song called Colours? It'll be in the worship little thing on the phone. So we'll use that right at the end, I think. And so that was great. Was that helpful? I think it would be a good time now. Now, of course, some people are married. Some people wish they were married. One of the interesting things about life is that oftentimes the people that are married, the people that aren't married wish they were, and the people that are married sometimes wish they weren't. However, there we go. Let me just jigger this around and get that right. And but whatever state you're in and whatever age you're at, we want to talk about things that will help your life go forward well. And so I'd be encouraging you to take notes. And if you're in a relationship or if something is developing, then these are good things to talk about. And particularly if you've been married for a while, there will be things that come up that maybe Carrie or I will articulate that actually have been brewing a little bit. And it's really important to talk through issues together. So, you know, I want you to use some of these points as very practical areas that you can talk about together, that you can walk through together. And if you're single for whatever reason, it's very important that you know that you're loved, that you know that you're valued. I'd say that's the most important thing. If you've been left, if you've been deserted or cheated on in some way, and that happens more often than we would like and happens in the Christian church more often than we would like, we always want to try and cover people. Love covers. We're not exposers of people's difficulties. We always want to try and restore wherever it's possible, because 9 times out of 10, whether there's children or not, mostly it is better to restore the situation. Even if you have a legitimate biblical reason for not restoring it, that doesn't mean that that's the best route to take. And certainly Carrie and I and the team of guys around us, Owen and Chrissy, are very good with those kind of areas as well. And we want to encourage you and help you. So I get to talk about now the five things that men wish women knew. But because I'm trying to be considerate, I've only done four. So I gave more room to the women. Did you like that?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Let's have a look at this. Number one, confidence. A woman being confident in who she is very attractive to a man. Arrogance is not attractive to anybody, and it's true in men as well. And I'm a complete believer that when you receive Jesus and you become a believer, a follower of his, then your sense of value about yourself will instantly increase and should be increasing the rest of your life. My personal opinion, and I know there are some others that probably think the same way, I think that the biggest problem the entire world faces is that human people, you and I, do not realise really how valuable we are. I think that's the root of all problems. When people start to get jealous of someone else, when people start to consider doing things that they know deep down aren't the right thing to do, usually it's that if they give themselves away too cheaply, that's not attractive to men, by the way, usually it is because we just have lost sight. It's never been rooted in our lives that we're incredibly precious. And that probably runs stronger in my heart than just about anything else in terms of leading God's people. And that's why the gospel is so awesome, the good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus is not telling you that you're a sinner. That is a poor twist on the gospel. It's misrepresenting God's heart. The good news of Jesus is telling you that you're valuable. That's what it's telling you. And it's so important right now, and I feel like God is raising up, you know, not just us, lots of others, but churches that that can see that doctrinally, biblically, theologically, the idea of pressuring people or making them feel that they're sinful, that this is somehow necessary for us to get the deep revelation of God's love, you don't see that taught in the New Testament. Actually, Paul, when he writes to the Romans, he says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Yep. Repentance is just changing your mind. And it may or may not involve emotion, but when you realize how good he is and the fact that however messed up you feel, you know, your own measure of yourself is likely to be a little bit inaccurate to some degree. You know, sometimes we feel like we're great and we're really not doing so great at all. Sometimes we feel terrible and we're actually doing okay. So it's very hard to gauge, which is why relationship with the right people is so important. But the truth is that once you get a revelation of how valuable you are, that'll change. When people put other people down, which happens a lot in our world, when they're quick to lose their temper, when they're quick to notice something wrong, when it's like walking around eggshells when they're there because you've got to watch, mostly that is that we're just not that comfortable with ourselves. And when we're not comfortable with ourselves, that spills out onto other people. Now, that's a biblical thought. We're not going into it deeply, but it's also substantiated by a lot of sociological and psychological research. When we feel whole, when we know that we're valuable, we're at our best. And God's love is that thing that's supposed to convince us of that. So back to this point now, confidence. So for a woman to be confident, not to be arrogant, but to feel like, actually, I'm pretty okay. That's really attractive for a man. And to the kind of sometimes, you know, false humility is not the right word, but sometimes women, all of us I think, but women certainly can feel like somehow I've got to be squeaky, I've got to be quiet, I'm supposed to submit, I'm a Christian woman, da 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 da. And we'll talk a little bit about how that all works in the few minutes we've got before we close, but feeling happy, feeling like you're valuable, that's attractive. We like that. She thinks she's all right. That's sometimes why men leave or make a mistake, get involved with a woman that isn't their wife, because for whatever series of reasons, the wife isn't feeling great about herself, and the man can probably hold up his hand to some of that. But regardless, if she's not feeling great about herself, sometimes men go for very ordinary women. You ever notice that? They have affairs and with people, and you think, well, why on earth? But if that girl feels confident about herself, that's attractive to a man. She mightn't be that gorgeous to look at, but if she feels like she's gorgeous and she acts like she's gorgeous, that's attractive. So you want to keep doing that in your marriages. Amen. Point two, here we go. Gentle and flowing. The reference, it's a beautiful, beautiful reference, and I want you to hear it the right way, because God designed life to win for men and for women. And so this word that comes up a fair bit, submission, the better word is flow. Submission, because at the beginning of that reference, and I don't know if I'll have time for it, but we'll look at this, it means to flow with. So are women equal in value to men? Absolutely. And frankly, they're generally quicker to obey the Lord than men are. That's just a fact. And there'll be more women in heaven than there are in men, than there will be men, because they're more liable, they tend to, on the whole, broadly speaking, be more willing to be taught. They have less of that stubborn, generally broad brushstrokes. However, that they're equally valuable in Christ. They're equally able to be leading in churches and ministries and all that. So there are some church organizations that have a problem with that. I could do a whole long teaching on that, but you know, it's not our subject today. But in terms of roles within marriage, you have different roles. And the idea of roles is that God makes it work best for the men and work best for the women. So you've got to remember that. Let me read here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and the first few verses. It's a beautiful passage. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves. Now, the word, better word, is flow with. Flow with your husbands, so that if any of them don't believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see your purity and the reverence of your life. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing. That's not saying don't do it. That's just saying that's not the priority. And fine clothes. It should be that of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, unfortunately, because of the misuse of the word submit, and because of a historic, you know, certainly in recent, well, a lot of the last century and before, the historic inappropriate dominance of men over women, and the idea that the head means you just dominate, and when it comes to the crunch, what I say goes will go, which is a misrepresentation, totally, of what Scripture is saying. But because of that, people have often, and wives have often, been a bit afraid of that verse. And a bit like we're opening the door here to being manipulated and walked over. And that's not the case. I want you to hear it again. A gentle and quiet spirit. There is something very beautiful about a gentle lady. Just like for a lady, there's something lovely about a gentleman. And there are things happening in the church world and in culture in terms of the balance between men and women. And there are some things that have been redressed well. There are some things that have actually gone too far the other way, probably, but it is what it is. And we're the house of God, so we can learn from the Scriptures how to act. But I'm just talking to you about what's attractive. You see, in the same way, flow with your husband, so if they don't believe, they're going to be shifted, they're going to change because of your lifestyle, because of just the way you are. And if you understood that men do not like to be told, just like you probably don't either. But men don't like, if you confront them and say you're doing it wrong, your chances of winning are very low. Because we're just not wired well that way. That's not to say we're any better, it's just, but if you develop a spirit, now let me just step in real quick and say, in terms of, you know, dominance,
like loud people, soft people, stronger women, stronger men. The idea that the man is necessarily stronger is necessarily, I don't think that's scriptural, and in my experience in life, it isn't true. I would say probably it's about 50-50 in terms of couples that I've worked with, whether one of them is the more naturally leadership kind of person. And usually there's a balance. So there's not a right and wrong about that. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about a gentleness and a willingness to say, yeah, just flow along. You're far more likely to get what you want. So the scripture says it like this in Proverbs. It's a soft tongue that breaks the bone. And women, be smart. If you want to get your way and you want to break the bone, and that, you know, that stubborn bone that says we're not doing that, softness will always do that. One of the most remarkable stories that I've heard, and I don't use it, you know, because it's what you should do, but it's a remarkable story. Smith Wigglesworth. Some of you have heard of Smith Wigglesworth. How many have heard of Smith Wigglesworth? One of the great spiritual Pentecostal pioneers, just a phenomenal man of God, raised 23 people from the dead, very unusual person. He had a wife called Polly for the first 45 years of his life. Polly was a Salvation Army girl, and she really led him in the things of God. She was the stronger one. It was not until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit that his life really changed. She was the leader. She was the strong one. And there was a season in their life when someone that we would now all look back on as one of the great heroes of the faith in the last century worked as a plumber and got too busy because in Yorkshire it was cold that winter. He got too much work. He didn't stop working, as men sometimes do. And he stopped making time for God, and his heart towards God got hard. And it was a beginning of a process where actually the transformation in his life later on was great, but he got himself in a bad place. And she would want to go to church, and she was no weakling, and he didn't want her to go. And so he would make it very difficult for her to go to church, refuse to go to church. And when he got really annoyed one time in Yorkshire, in the winter, in the cold, he said, enough of this. She went off to church and he locked the doors all day and all night. And Polly went to sleep in her little coat on the front doorstep, opened the door, Wigglesworth opened the door in the morning, and she got up, put a coat on, said, good morning, Smith. Would you like eggs and bacon this morning? And went in and cooked him breakfast. Now, what Smith did wasn't a good way to live. But what I'm saying is that sometimes if we approach it from either of us, men or women, in terms of you did this bit, therefore I do that bit, it doesn't work well. Be like Jesus as much as you can in your marriage. Some days your partner might be just like Jesus and you'll be impressed. Other days you'll think, well, I'm frankly being more like Jesus than they are. But it's not a competition. Have that sort of spirit. That's because that impacted his life. Now, she went home to be with the Lord many years later, and one of his testimonies was when he was so mightily used of God over all the world, and they said, what's your secret, Smith Wigglesworth? And he said, I'm a broken-hearted man. He said, every day I cry because I miss my Polly. And sometimes it's those bits of hurt and brokenness, if we handle them the right way, that put a treasure in us in terms of the richness of Jesus' presence that we don't get any other way. But that's a great story, and I'm just about out of time. Number three, adventurous. Stay adventurous. Keep it exciting. Don't be afraid to lead the way. Can I say it that way? Are you with me? Keep it fun. Keep it light. Carrie mentioned the same thing. So important. We can all get intense. We can all get frustrated. And it's really important. And if you need to find some fun things to do, write them down. And talk about them and say, well, what's a fun thing that we can do together? And some of you, I know, will say, well, I can't think of anything. Well, you need to find something. Pray about it. If you're praying, pray about that. Because having fun together, doing stuff together, Carrie will go intense. I don't go intense. I find it a very intense experience. So we will find some other way around it. And you've got to keep the joy and the fun and the adventure. Being a little bit adventurous, a little bit maybe provocative in a marriage situation, just a little bit having fun, men like that. They don't want to be the ones making the decisions all the time. Now, every couple is different, obviously, but broadly speaking. Last one, believe in me always. That is what men really want. It's Ephesians chapter 5, you'll know it all well, and I'm going to close on this verse. It starts about, you know, submitting, but like I say, if you have the word submit in your Bible, just put flow with. It's more accurate rendering of what the Greek meant. And it says here that we should submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Well, you know, imagine that if Mary here came in and said, Rory, you're sitting where I normally sit, and the Bible says submit to one another, so I want you to submit to me and move out of that seat. I mean, that's how silly it is. It's the same Greek word when it says men submit to women. It's just as stupid for a man to come home and say, well, you're supposed to submit to me, and so you want to cook eggs, but I want pancakes, thanks very much. It's just as equally stupid. It's a complete misrepresentation. But to flow with is a good thing. So it talks all about wives flowing with your husbands and husbands loving your wives, and they're the key things. But then the last verse is a cracker. Down in verse... He who loves his wife loves himself. Where is it now? 33, I think it is. Has anyone got the Amplified Bible with them? Can you look it up real quick? Who's a quick looker-upper? Where's Owen gone? Ah, is he with the kids? You want to get this. You want to get this, man. You'll love this. Amplified version. It's Ephesians 5:33. Is anyone on it? However, let each of you must love his wife. That's what Carrie's last point was. As he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. Believe in me. Respect me. Now, if you find it in the Amplified, you'll find this. It says that she venerates him greatly. That she honors him. That she puts him on a pedestal. That she treats him like a hero. That's what that word means. And that's what men love. Now, I know you might feel like, oh, you're supposed to be all brave and tough. You know that the psychologists will tell you that the men's egos is more fragile than women's egos. Oftentimes, through a marriage breakdown, it's the women that recover better than the men. And I've got lots of stories and lots of friends and different things that have gone through that. Women are remarkable, and in my opinion, better than men, at coping with things without a partner with them. Now, that can be pros and cons to that, but that's just my observation. But sometimes what ladies don't realise is we actually need you to tell us that we're wonderful and we want to be your hero. And if you find fault with us, it's not to say that it's not to have a discussion. We will react differently to a lady. A lady will generally, these are broad brushstrokes, but generally they will talk through things. And in the talking process, they figure it out. When you talk to us, we think you want an answer and we give you an answer. It never works very well. But for them, they'll talk and then that's kind of, and they're better at talking, better at being vulnerable, ladies generally. But for men, it's like we're not so good at that, so we might put a wall up or we might say, but deep down, we want to be championed. And if you're married or you're thinking about getting married or you're in a relationship, if you will find a way of making your man feel like he's a hero to your life, you will win incredible. You'll not only be biblical, but you'll win incredible favour. We don't like to be made to feel small. Nobody does, but it tends to affect men more than it does women. And it's not designed, it's never a competition. It's designed where if we know what flicks their switches, and then they know what flicks our switches, and we spend most of our time flicking the other switches all well, something good starts to happen. Are you with me? All right, there's lots more we could talk about, but we've got to close now because I've just run a few minutes over time. Forgive me for that. Close our eyes if we could. Thank you very much for being here. We're going to have about 20 minutes together of coffee and tea, and then we'll begin to pack down. And we'll put this piece of music on if we can there quietly. And I just want to give us about 30 seconds just quietly here in the presence of God to close your eyes, please, if you could. Switch your phones off and just give attention to the Holy Spirit just here for a moment. And let's do that.